Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, December 12th, 2014, and with me today I have the always awesome Brian Chaffin. How are you?
Doing pretty well.
That is awesome, as they say. And equally awesome, Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
Dude. That's all I have to say.
And that's all you need to say. It says it all. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, Casper Mattresses, and we'll be talking about them shortly. And the short version is, yes, I do sleep better. The first topic that I want to dive into today is this whole thing with the App Store, and Apple doing their thing where they're forcing apps to pull features out that, you know, features that have been there for a while, and in many cases, features that really showcase the power of the platform, and specifically Transmit, which is an FTP application that's been available for the Mac for many years, now is available for the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. They had to pull out the feature that lets you upload content to online services. And that just, in my opinion, really kind of kills one of the key features of an FTP application.
Well, to be fair, they didn't ask them to pull out the FTP upload feature.
That's a good point.
Right? They asked them to pull out the feature that allows you to take content that you've downloaded into the app and share it to iCloud Drive,
More specifically, you're able to share to iCloud Drive from documents that were not developed within the app, that were not created within the app.
Yeah, well, that's the rule, right? If you create a document from within the app, then you can save it to iCloud Drive. If the document came from somewhere else, then you can't save it to iCloud Drive. But we talked about this on the show, right?
Right.
To say that a document that a user launched an FTP app, logged into an FTP server, and download it is not something the user, I mean, technically the user may not have created it, or they might have, right? There's no way to know the creation, but the intention is clear, right? This is not accidentally on the device, and nor is the sharing of it to iCloud Drive accidental. But as it turns out, cooler heads prevailed.
Yeah, the knee-jerk response was a cutting off your nose, spite your face situation.
Well, the knee-jerk response was, here's what the rules say, and this is, as I interpret it, in violation of the rules, you have to pull it out. That was the knee-jerk response.
And sure, and then the side effect was, it was an all-or-nothing thing. Pulling out the ability to upload to iCloud Drive meant that you pulled out the ability to upload to any online service.
Right.
And Brian just alluded to the fact that that has changed. Apple reversed their stance on that and told Panic that – those are the developers – that they can include the iCloud Drive upload support in Transmit. So they have already released an update that puts the functionality back in, which I think is great that cooler heads prevailed. The problem I'm seeing, though, is that it's now creating this environment where developers and users are very leery of cool, powerful features being in applications because they don't know how long Apple's going to let those stay.
Give me an example. Give me an example of anyone who's leery about it.
I am.
A lot of developers are. And I know a lot of users who specifically buy apps on their Mac to download them to their Mac and save them, because they're afraid Apple will, pull features out. But at least if you've got the file, you can install it. And I think the second thing that we're going to talk about on the show, an app called Workflow, I saw tweets yesterday when it was released, people saying exactly that: download it now before Apple kills it. It's a useful app. But you know, look at James Thompson, right, with pCalc. He went through this, and the pCalc scenario, which had a calculator, which was pulled. Same thing happened, right? He added a feature that his pCalc is a calculator. he added a feature that added a calculator to the calculator widget to the notification center, and Apple was simultaneously, we talked about it on the show, simultaneously featuring the app in the store and telling him you have to pull this feature out, and they were featuring it because it had a notification center widget. So it was two, you know, the two teams clearly not talking to each other, but
clearly,
you know, there was something about it, and James Thompson was notably upset about this, but he pulled the feature. And then there was a big hubbub about it, and someone at Apple came in and said, well, that's not actually what we meant. That was just someone misinterpreting the rules here. You're allowed to put that in. Please put it in. We featured it. We really want that feature in. Thank you. But it does this and, you know, that and the panic thing with Transmit goes against something that also is in the developer guidelines, which I'm paraphrasing here. It says, if you have a problem with the way we're interpreting things, running to the press won't help. And that is now regularly being proven untrue.
Yeah.
Not that James Thompson ran to the press. The press heard about it because many of us are friends with him and made the story on our own. I mean, it was, you know, Christina Warren at Mashable, I think, was the one who took the lead on that one. And it wasn't James, you know, running to the press. It was him just talking about it and the press hearing and then echoing the story. And Panic was the same way. You know, Cable Sasser and all the folks at Panic are fairly well known. And so when they speak, there are those of us that listen and, as we did, echo the problem, and then Apple starts paying attention.
So that actually works out well for developers that are established and known.
Right.
If you're an unknown developer, you may not have as much success.
You will have a different experience.
There is a glass half full side to this, though.
It's not half full or empty, Brian. The glass is simply too big.
or the water's... Okay, fair enough. So the slightly positive side to this is at least Apple is being flexible and trying to learn as it goes. This is not
correct.
Actually a defense. I'm not being a fanboy here. I'm not being an Apple can't do any wrong kind of person on this, but it could be worse. Apple might not have reversed those decisions and stuck by its guns, and
yep,
and that's what the app review team said, and that's what's going to happen, and you know, to hell with you. They're not doing that
in those cases.
Yes,
right. The question is, to Jeff's point, what happens to the I don't want to say the little guy, because James Thompson is a one man show, right? You know, but he has a presence. He has he is known. What happens to the unknown person who does exactly the same thing and gets the same rejection? Is there even a chance that this is going to ever be heard by anyone other than that one member of the app review team? And I can guarantee you the answer is no.
It certainly.
And it's frustrating.
In most cases,
right. The answer is yes, yes. Not nearly as positive. Yeah. It's tough, but there's no magic answer. I mean, I can sit here and say that the unknown guy is horked, but so what? I mean, it doesn't. I don't have a. We can't expect Apple to listen to, the powers that be at Apple and the PR department at Apple to pay attention to what the app review department is doing in every case.
Yeah, this is a downside of the walled garden. The walled garden provides a lot of benefits to we the user, yep. And the walled garden presents a lot of benefits to developers too, but it does have downsides, and this is one of them.
Yep.
Yep, and clearly it's very frustrating for developers. And Dave, you mentioned that you saw people on Twitter yesterday saying, "Hey, grab workflow before Apple pulls it." I actually did something very similar in the article that I wrote, telling people about workflow.
I mean, Apple's featuring the app, but
it has an Apple's Editor Choice Award. Mm-hmm. Attached with it right now, and I saw that yesterday, and I'm tapping by as fast as I can because I didn't want to miss out, and the whole time I was thinking, well, I wonder how many days before the app gets pulled, or we get the announcement about the update that takes out key functionality. And that sucks. I shouldn't have to think things like that. So, yeah, I don't know what the answer is. And clearly Apple doesn't either. But what I'm hoping is that Apple is doing what Brian is saying, that they're working on improving the process. So we have a sponsor, which I alluded to earlier. I didn't even allude. I flat out told everyone. It's Casper Mattress. And Casper, their big thing is that they make really comfortable high-end mattresses that you don't have to pay a premium price to get, which is nice because not everyone has giant bankrolls sitting under their old mattress that they want to replace. So like in my case, I bought a queen-size mattress, and it cost $850 as opposed to well over $1,000 if I went to a shop here in Colorado and picked one up. And it's amazingly comfortable. They do this hybrid foam thing where it's memory foam, but it's not like that stuff where it feels like you've been sucked in and you can't move. And you don't overheat in it, which is a big thing for me because I like sleeping comfortably. And they offer like a really high quality product that they deliver to you quickly through mail order. And they give you the opportunity to try it out and make sure that you really like it, so you don't have to feel like you're stuck with a mattress you don't like if for whatever reason you don't. And just wonderful products and great people. Dave, you have one of their mattresses. Oh, Brian, you do too.
Yeah, kind of wishing I was in it right now. Kind of sleepy.
Yeah, we're all well, you don't sound sleepy, Brian, and
well,
that's a good thing. Hey, you probably you're sleeping better because you got that Casper mattress, like we are here in the Hamilton household.
I just went to bed too late.
Oh yeah, well that happens. Yeah.
Well, the great thing is with the technology we have, Brian, you can podcast from bed. And for all our listeners know, we actually are at this very moment podcasting from bed.
It's the best non-Apple purchase I've made in years.
Yeah, it's wow. Absolutely fantastic.
That's considered
opinion. You have a coupon code, don't you, Jeff?
I do. You've read my mind. Casper has a coupon code for all of our listeners. That code is TDO, and it gets you $50 off whichever mattress size you decide you want. And all you need to do is go to casper.com/TDO and use that code and get yourself a nice mattress with a $50 discount and start sleeping better right away, because there's not even a break-in period. It's just set it up and go to bed. So thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor this week. And go over to casper.com/TDO and use your discount code and get yourself a nice mattress. Okay, so the other topic that we wanted to hit is this new app that came out called Workflow. And we've given everyone some nice foreshadowing that the topic was coming today. So if you're not familiar with Workflow yet, it's this really cool application for the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch that lets you create automated workflows and scripts, very much like Automator does on the Mac. And so then you can take all these repetitive tasks or complex tasks that you want to reduce to a couple taps on your screen, and there you go. You just build these things, drag and drop in the interface, and away you go. You can turn them into apps on your own home screen. You can turn them into services or extensions that are shared through other apps on your device. And it's amazingly cool. It's amazingly cool. My concern is that, yes, Apple will end up doing something like they'll say, oh, actually, we changed our mind. You can't do some of these things and hobble or kill the app. But in the meantime, it's fantastic. And Dave, you've started playing with it a little bit also.
I did. And I'm hoping Skype behaves well enough for you and all our listeners to hear me here. But I started playing with it and built a couple of workflows, and then decided to try and build a workflow that let me share content to iCloud Drive because I wanted to see if this hole existed in this app. It does not. there is no way to build a workflow that uses the standard share sheet in that way. You can share to Dropbox because they've got the API built in specifically. You can share to Facebook, to Instagram. You know, there's all these different things, but the iCloud Drive share to, I couldn't find it. Maybe it's here, but I couldn't find it. But I did find it. You know, what's cool is you can create your own workflows, and they're very simple, and like you said, it walks you through creating your first one, so you kind of grok the process. But then they have all these pre-built workflows that you can either use out of the box, or you can, you know, import them and then edit them to your liking. So it's pretty cool. I got my 13-year-old son working on this. Happy birthday. And he loves it. He was like totally in and really, really into it. So
awesome.
Yeah. It's fun. It's cool being able to create these things. What's cool is you can create widgets that you can just save on your home screen, or you can have it be part of a share thing, right? So you can add workflow as a path that you send stuff to, and then you can use your own widgets inside there. So if you have files from other apps, you can pass them through to your own workflows. That's the really cool thing that this allows you to do.
Yeah. It's amazingly cool. After getting workflow, I feel like my iPhone and iPad have been hobbled devices before that.
Right.
And I didn't realize that they were hobbled until I got workflow, and then it was like a veil had been lifted. It's a very cool application. So it's $299 right now. The developers have said that that's an introductory price, and that it's going to go up to $499. Even at $499, it's still going to be an amazing deal, I think, because the boost to your productivity can just be off the charts depending on what you're building. And they have their APIs, so other developers can add in workflow support to their apps.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm expecting that over the next few weeks, couple months, we're going to start seeing other apps that that add in workflow support. And I don't know how this is all going to fit together for me, but I have this image in my head where OmniFocus is doing stuff for me through workflow with Transmit and what's the other awesome app that Status Board ties into Status Board somehow. And I don't know exactly how all that's going to come together, but I just have this image in my head where it does, and all of a sudden my world becomes this magical new place.
Sweet.
Yeah. So anyhow, yeah, check that out too. And, well, we're about out of time. Wow. All right. Well, Dave, Brian, thank you both for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And,
yeah, my pleasure.
And thank you to Casper for being our sponsor this week. So head on over to casper.com/TDO and use our code TDO. For your $50 discount and pick up a mattress so that you can be sleeping better in time for the rest of the holidays. And we'll see everyone else next week.